So I want to thank Mackenzie as well for special music. It's always nice when the members can get up here and help us in our service and praising God through music or whatever other talents they may have. I'm going to start today by asking you a question. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Seems like sort of a silly question. It sounds like maybe a question that a pop psychologist would ask, or maybe one of those head shrinkers would ask. Seems like kind of a silly question. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? But this is the question I will attempt to answer for you today in the sermon. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? So to start answering that question, I'm going to ask you yet another question. How successful are you? How successful are you? There are many yardsticks by which you can measure success, like power, wealth, position, prestige, the job you have, the house you have, the car you drive, the home you live in. These are all indicators of worldly success. However, measuring spiritual success can be much more difficult. There's very little tangible evidence, visual evidence, which you can put your hands on to prove that you're living a successful Christian life. Generally, success as a believer is more internal than external. It's not something that you can see on the outside right away. Sometimes there will only be a small amount of external evidence that we produce, even though there may be a lot of internal activity in our hearts and our minds. That is why it's difficult for God's children who are living in a materialistic world to gauge their success, at least by the standards of this world. So how do we know if we are a successful Christian? Turn over to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 is a group of verses here, 1 through 3, that I'm going to spend a little time going back and forth today. So I don't know, you might want to put a marker there because we'll be coming back towards the end of the sermon as well. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, who delights in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruits in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. There are a couple of characteristics about a blessed and successful believer that we can get here from these scriptures. The first is that the blessed and successful believer does not walk with the wicked. He does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or take seat in the company of mockers. He does not believe what the wicked believe, and does not behave like they behave. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, you don't need to turn there, but it says, therefore, come out of her and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. The successful Christian feels out of place when he is surrounded by sinful thoughts and deeds. He does not keep company with those who are sinful. You need only think about the story of Lot to see that in action. Lot and his family decided that it was okay to keep company with the wicked and to live in a sinful place. And eventually, of course, it came to his downfall and to the downfall of his entire family. The blessed and successful believer does not step in step with the wicked. The second characteristic of a blessed and successful believer is that he delights in God's law. Verse 2 says, right here in Psalms 1, but he delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. So the blessed and successful believer is genuinely and completely in love with God's word. The word has captured his full affection. This is his delight, it says. In other words, it's his pleasure. The word of God isn't a book of fables and myths and rules that he has to live by, or legends. To him, it's the word of truth, and he loves it. It's God-breathed, it's infallible, and it's absolutely perfect. To a successful believer, the word of God is more important than even food. Job 23, verse 12 says, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. So the word of God to a successful believer is more important than even the food that he eats. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk. So that you may grow up in your salvation. So again, we are to be like newborn babies, craving after that spiritual milk. It's more important than even food. Psalm 19, verse 10 compares it to honey, sweet honey. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and out of them are righteousness. They are more precious than gold, than much more gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. So a successful believer is in love with the Word of God. To him, it's more important than food, and it's sweeter than honey. The Bible is internalized, and it becomes the standard for every thought, every action. Everything a successful believer does is tempered against what the Word of God says. And he uses the backdrop of the Word of God for every one of his life's decisions. The third characteristic of a blessed and successful believer is that he will bear fruit. Verse 3, Psalm 1, verse 3 now. The person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither, whatever they do prospers. So a successful believer, of course, bears fruit. That's what verse 3 says. So there is the answer to the question I asked in the very beginning. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? You would be a tree planted by the river, by the streams of water. And of course, the streams of water mentioned here are referring to God's Holy Spirit. So if you were a tree, we would be a tree planted next to the streams of God's Holy Spirit. So a successful and blessed Christian is a tree planted next to the stream. And with all of this in mind, I want to notice now some of the characteristics of that tree, so we can better realize what type of tree we need to be. So first, let's notice the first characteristics that I have listed here of this type of tree. First, notice the position of the tree. The position of the tree is by the water, always close to the life-giving resources of God's Holy Spirit. The tree planted by the river is never dry. It's never wilted, but it's green and full of life. The droughts of life and the dry season will never be able to destroy the believer who is planted near the river. He is connected to the source of life and strength. Another characteristic of this type of tree is its prominence and its strength. Its prominence and its strength. It offers protection to the smaller trees around it as they grow. Just like we should offer protection to our younger members as they grow. And a tree protects the woodland creatures as well. They rely on it for shelter and from storms and protection from predators. Another characteristic of a tree is its permanence. A tree is permanent. Unlike some plants, which live from season to season and die off, or they wither up and die when it gets hot and dry, a tree that sunk its roots deep and has a hidden source of life will live for a very, very long time. Another characteristic of this tree is its productivity. It produces. Verse 3 says, it yields fruit in season, and its leaves will not wither. In other words, it brings forth fruit. A productive tree brings forth fruit. And not just fruit to feed itself. A tree doesn't produce fruit just to feed itself. It doesn't produce fruit to feed itself at all. It produces fruit in order to start new trees, and also to shelter and feed all those other creatures around it. A good tree will produce acorns and apples and cherries or whatever the fruit is in order to start off new little trees growing underneath them, and then it protects them with its branches from the wind and the rain as they grow. That's what a good tree does. And perhaps even more importantly than that, a good tree will produce fruit to feed all of those that are around it. A good tree produces food for those around it. A successful tree is like a successful believer. It is a blessing to all those that happen to be around it. A successful tree is a real blessing in the forest, and it's a blessing to all the creatures in that forest around it. Trees are like the linchpin that holds the delicate balance of wildlife together when you think about it. And you really sit and think about how a forest works. The trees is really the linchpin that holds it all together. So many animals rely on healthy trees to provide them with food and shelter and even transportation. And without trees, none of the animals would be able to survive. Squirrels use trees, of course, for shelter. And they create their nests and they raise their little ones up in the trees. And they also provide them with food, like acorns, to eat. But squirrels aren't the only mammals that benefit greatly from the trees. Of course, there's possums, raccoons, chipmunks, bats, porcupines. All of them take up residency in the trees. Even groundhogs have been known to climb trees, believe it or not. At least the ones around our place do. Just ask Jake about the tree-dwelling groundhogs we have around our farm. And maybe he will tell you about the time that he and Jordan, my nephew, most of you know who Jordan is, maybe he'll tell you about the time that he and Jordan chased the groundhog up a tree. Then when they tried to climb up after it, they got peed on from above for all of their troubles. It's a pretty good story. You should ask Jake to tell you about that. Him and Jordan are the only two people I know that have been peed on by a groundhog from up in a tree. So just trees serve as protection even for groundhogs at times. Because, believe it or not, after that happened, Jordan and Jake left that groundhog alone. They left him in the tree. Other mammals, as large as deer and bears, feed off acorns and apples as well. Deer use the trees also, of course, to remove the velvet from their antlers. Just about every wild bird you can think of benefit from trees. They build nests. They raise their little ones in them. They forage for food in them. They seek shelter when it rains or snows in the branches. Our house that we live in is right up against the woods. Many of you know how our house is kind of situated. It's right up against a whole bunch of trees in the back. And the birds certainly come alive each morning. The trees are just filled with the birds. When the windows are down, it doesn't take long to realize how many birds make their homes in those trees because of all the, well, I call it noise and racket. She calls it beautiful. She told me that when I read this to her earlier. She said, I think it's beautiful. Sometimes it wakes me up, all the noise they make out there. And what about the insects? Whether you care about insects or not, they are some of the animals that benefit most from the trees. Flowering trees attract honeybees, butterflies, moths, and other flying insects to collect the nectar. Honeybees even build their hives in trees. Lots of other insects also use the trees as sources of shelter and as sources of food. Pine trees, spruce, and hemlock trees have a year-round dense foliage, creating ideal cover from predators and shelter from the elements. When I was a young man, before I could drive, I don't know, probably 12, 13 years old, I used to go fishing a lot with one of my friends that lived near me. And one of our favorite fishing spots was this spillway at the end of this big lake that was near us. Unfortunately, it was about 5 miles away. And neither one of us could drive, so we would just pack up our food and our rods and our bait, put in our backpacks, and we'd walk the 5 miles to the spillway in the morning to fish all day. And I remember one time when we walked down there that a big storm blew in. It was the middle of summer, that's probably July or August. It was one of those summertime storms that really blew. I mean, it was a nasty storm as I remember. And it rained so hard that it actually hurt and hit your face. You know, it rained so hard, wind blowing so hard that it was actually hurting your skin. It was raining so hard. And since we had walked all the way there, there was no place to get out of the weather. It was 5 miles back home walking. So I remember that we ran into the woods and we huddled underneath a pine tree. Underneath this real dense pine tree, we just kind of huddled in underneath there. And the pine trees, if you ever got underneath one during a storm, it kind of sheds water like a duck sheds water. It just runs right off, and it's usually pretty dry under there. And it was so thick that it blocked the wind, too. It was almost like having a ready-made shelter to go and hide in. Trees of all kinds shelter wildlife among and beneath their branches as well. Insects use them as shelter underneath the bark, and of course they burrow in the roots over the wintertime for shelter. In spring and summer, birds and small animals eat the flower buds and leaves are eaten by caterpillars and many other insects. The insects, of course, then become food for the birds and the other animals in the woods. Pollen and nectar from the trees also attract insects that become food for the birds. Butterflies and moths feed on the spruces, and in turn, the birds feed on them. Cherry and apple and plum trees provide berries in late summer, feeding all kinds of birds and mammals alike. Even in fall and winter, maple, oak, birches, hickory trees, and others produce nuts and berries for the birds and mammals to eat. They would never be able to survive without those trees producing fruit, even in the wintertime. All winter, the evergreens, the pines, and the spruces, the hemlocks have their seeds in the pine cones that provide food until spring. And even the deer browse on the twigs and the buds all winter long. Seeds are eaten by the grouse and the turkeys and small birds and rodents all winter. And I heard or read it also that one leafy tree, mature tree, will provide enough oxygen in one season for 10 people to breathe for an entire year. So you can see the benefits when you really sit down and think about it of these physical trees. And we are compared to these trees for a reason. Have you ever looked at a tree and really thought about how much it provides to its forest community it belongs to. How much this tree really provides to the community or the forest or its little neck of the woods where it's growing. So when God says we are to be a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, we need to think about what a physical tree does and how it yields its fruit and how it yields its fruit and how many creatures actually benefit from it. We need to think about what fruit we are really providing to the community around us as well. Trees enhance the entire habitat they are found in. They feed those around them. They protect those around them. They give shelter to those around them. And not only for just other trees, but to everyone in their neck of the woods, every kind of creature. And as I mentioned before, the squirrels, the birds, the insects, the rodents, the deer, the bears, the raccoons, the possums, and sometimes even the groundhogs depend on those trees. Who knows how many depend on those trees to get by? And who knows how many may depend on you someday down the road to get by as well, if you allow God to plant you by the river and allow His living waters to help you to grow. Turn over to Jeremiah now. I'm going to go to another couple scriptures here that are very similar to the ones we just read in Psalm. It's almost like a companion verses in a way. The ones we just read in Psalm. Jeremiah chapter 17. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17. More verses along the same vein here. Beginning in verse 7. Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's Jeremiah 17, verses 7 to 8. Jeremiah uses the same imagery here that we just read about in Psalm 1, but he's adding a few details. And what I like about this passage in Jeremiah is a line that says, it has no worries. It has no worries in the year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. That's the kind of tree we should all want to be. We don't want to be weak-kneed Christians who wilt under pressure or dry up and blow away when the heat is on. We want to be able to be green and leafy even in times of trouble. All fruit trees need roots that go down deep into the soil to find water to sustain the tree. When there's regular rain, the roots don't need to go very deep. When water is plentiful, the tree produces fruit year after year, no problem, because the water is plentiful. But when drought comes and the water is hard to find, only a tree whose roots have gone very, very deep into the ground will find enough water to make it by. Will find the water needed to make the tree flourish and produce fruit. This is the advantage of a tree planted by the side of a river. Even in drought years, beneath the surface there is water. And if it has deep roots, it will find that water and it will produce fruit. When it's easy to be a Christian, when the going is easy, it's easy to produce fruit. When the culture supports going to church and being religious, it's easy to produce the fruit. When the government protects your rights to meet and may even give you tax-exempt status, it's easy. But as we, if you've been watching the news lately, you know that maybe that will soon be going away with all the problems there is with the IRS. But when things are going well, it's easy to produce fruit. When rain is frequent, fruit is easily produced. When it's easy to be a Christian, there are lots of people that go to church and produce the fruit. It's an environment producing, in this environment, producing fruit is not difficult. But when the culture turns against the church, which will happen and is happening, or when the government turns against the church, then it will be much harder to produce that fruit because there will be a drought. The heat will be on. There is a strong bias against the Christian faith in our schools and colleges. There's starting to be a strong bias, and it's getting stronger and stronger. Much of the media is also biased against Christianity as well. If you notice, Europe has already shifted to more of a secular society, and it seems like the United States is following behind them. The morals and values of our cultures are shifting. And it's easy for those of us in the church to shift along with the society around us. The culture and government can move against the church. But that is not the only source of drought that we can face. Our personal circumstances can go bad as well. And this will also lead to a season of drought. Like when our financial situation may turn bad, we lose a job. Or what happens when illness strikes and one of our family becomes seriously sick. Or what happens when life is no longer moving along smoothly anymore. Will you continue to produce the fruit in the drought of disappointment, illness, and tragedy in your life? That's the question. The type of tree we want to be will continue to produce that fruit. What does someone look like? What does someone look like who is a tree that produces fruit even during a drought? Well, verse 8 says, the leaves of this tree are always green. In other words, this person who trusts in God is always sustained and is never defeated by the circumstances around him. I'm going to reread Jeremiah 17, verse 8. It says, there will be a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear the heat when it comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to produce the fruit. It never fails to bear fruit. The person doesn't merely survive in tough times. The person who trusts God is productive, even in the tough times. Not only productive for themselves, but for all those around them, all those that are living in their neck of the woods. Because when you think about it, during the droughts, during the tough times, is when the people around that tree need it the most. That's when they need that fruit, because all the other trees who didn't have the deep roots or were not planted by the river are drying up and dying. And they don't have their fruit to produce, so all the inhabitants there in the woods, if you want to call it that, need that tree to produce its fruit in the tough times more than ever. Just think if you were thrown into a prison for your beliefs. Imagine yourself in a society where they actually threw you into a prison for your beliefs. Could you still be fruitful and productive in a drought situation like that? Well, turn over to Acts 16. Because there is an example in Acts 16 of two people who were productive, who did produce fruit, even after they were persecuted and thrown into prison. Now, none of us here that I know of have been persecuted to the point we've been thrown into prison, so we don't really know firsthand what this would be like. But we can imagine that it must be a very trying time, and of course this would be one of those times that would be considered a drought, when the heat is on. Acts 16, verses 25 to 30. I'll read verses 25 to 30 in Acts 16. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So Paul and Silas were thrown into prison in Philippi. Verse 26. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, He drew his sword and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all right here. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. So here we see the story of Paul and Silas when they were in prison in Philippi. They were in the prison, and yet they were found praying and singing hymns in the middle of the night, still producing fruit in that circumstance. This story illustrates the point we read about in Jeremiah 17. Not only did their leaves remain green in that drought, but they also continued to produce fruit while they were in jail. Even in that prison, they preached to the jailer, and he and his whole family were converted. So even in that drought time, they produced fruit not only for themselves, but for those that were there in their immediate vicinity around them. And they benefited from it, the jailer and his family. And of course, Paul and Silas were then miraculously released from the jail. We should all want to be a tree planted by the waters, where even in a drought, our leaves will remain green. We will not cease from producing fruit. Fruit not only for our own benefit, but instead for the benefit of those around us. Of course, none of this is possible by ourselves. It's only through the living water of the Holy Spirit that the tree can grow. And all the fruits that come from it are a reflection of God and are to His glory, and bring glory back to Him. That's the reason that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns, to bring glory back to God. It wasn't for their own benefit. And we can see the result of it when those the jailer and his family were baptized. It's amazing what a little water can do. Over the past couple days, we've had a lot of rain. You probably noticed it's been raining a lot lately. And as I was looking around the farm yesterday, all I could see was green. Everywhere you looked, it was just dark green. The grass, the trees, the leaves. Everything was dark green because of all the rain we just had. When there's just a little bit of water, life explodes. So just think about what an ever-flowing, never-ceasing fountain of living water can do for those that are planted next to it. So I ask you again, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Hopefully we would be a tree planted by God, planted by the stream of living water. A tree that is producing fruit even during a drought. God is giving us His Holy Spirit like water, soaking it into our roots for strength, so we can be able to produce the fruit to help others. A tree that simply grows for its own benefit and does not benefit anything or anyone around it is worthless. It may grow to be the biggest, mightiest, tallest tree in the forest, but if it produces no fruit and benefits no one around it, it's worthless. Turn over to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. Here we find a short parable, the parable about the fig tree, the barren fig tree, a tree that was growing but not producing fruit. Luke 13, verses 6 to 9. And he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree, which he had planted in his vineyard. And when he came looking for the fruit on it, he did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Just cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? It's not even worth the ground that it's using up, the space it's taking up." Then he answered to him and said, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put fertilizer on it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." Now there's a lot of lessons there in that short little parable about being a tree that does not bear fruit. I've just come up with four short little lessons that we can learn about bearing fruit from this parable. The first lesson I've come up with is God expects fruit. It's pretty simple. God expects His trees to bear fruit. He threatens to cut down the tree if it doesn't bear fruit. Second lesson, God is patient with us and He will show mercy. Because as we've read, He decided to let it go for another year and to see if it would produce. And if it did, fine. If it didn't, then it had to be cut down. The third lesson, a time is coming when God's patience will run out though. He is patient, but His patience will run out. The parable says, if it does not produce fruit in one more year, then we will cut it down. So eventually His patience and His mercy will run out. Lesson number four, God will help us bear the fruit. He's not leaving us alone. Of course, we know that He's using His Holy Spirit. That is what the living water is. He says that He will dig around it and put fertilizer on it for the next year to see if it will bear fruit. And if not, then cut it down. God will help us. The bottom line is that God expects the trees that He has planted by His water to produce fruit. That's the bottom line. And John 15, verse 2, you don't need to turn there, says, Jesus said, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, so that it brings forth more fruit." Again, it's about bringing forth fruit and being a fruitful, productive person. So we talked about being a tree planted by the living waters. And we saw some of the characteristics of that tree. The tree, we saw the position of the tree. It was planted by the river. We saw the prominence and the strength of the tree in the forest and how it gives protection and shelter to those in the forest. We saw the permanence of the tree, the fact that it doesn't die off and wither in the heat and when the drought comes because of its deep roots. And then we talked about the tree's productivity, its fruits, and how all those around that tree benefit from its fruits, especially in the times of drought. But now I want to notice just one more characteristic of this tree. And that one more characteristic is that this tree is immovable. The tree is also immovable. It's not mobile. Nothing can move a mighty oak tree. Once it grows and it grows great big and tall, nobody's going to move it. It doesn't grow legs and walk away. It is placed and it grows where the vineyard or the gardener, whoever planted it, put it there in a certain place, and that's where it grows. It can't move. It is placed there for a reason. Nothing can move a mighty oak tree. Even the storms that come and the winds that blow, the tree remains fast. Even when the drought comes and the other plants wither in the sun, the tree with the deep roots planted by the riverside will continue to give its fruit. And since the tree is immovable, it can only affect those in its immediate vicinity. It can't get up and move, as I said. It doesn't grow up legs and move. Whenever a drought comes, it doesn't go pick up and move somewhere where there's more water. It stays where it is, and it benefits those around where it lives. It can only feed those around it. It can only protect those that are around it. It can only give a place to shelter to those around it. It only feeds the squirrels and the possums and turkeys and deer and bears that live in its particular neck of the woods. Like a tree, we are confined to one place as well. We are placed by God in our community, wherever we are, and that's where we grow. Like a tree, we are confined to one place, and our duties are in that neck of the woods. We should be a blessing to our own particular neighborhood, wherever we are placed. Because in most cases, nobody beyond our neighbors even know who we are. We have very little influence beyond just a few, miles maybe of where we live. We certainly do not have a worldwide influence. So when the times of drought come, when there are those around us that are withering in need of help, we will only be able to help those in our immediate area. God expects us to use the power of His Holy Spirit to influence those in our local area, to be a tree that is immovable. It protects, it feeds, it shelters only those who are around it. Now more than ever, people in the world need God's help. I think we can all agree with that. Now more than ever, they need God's help. And in a not too distant future, we know that things are going to go downhill, and go downhill very quickly. There will be those out there in our communities that need help desperately. Maybe it will be help with food. Maybe they need shelter. Maybe they need encouragement. Maybe they need a helping hand in many different ways. Maybe they just need to hear the gospel of the truth and the hope that we all have in a future beyond this world. Maybe that's what they need. But there will be those who need our help. Will we be ready to give that help? The great and dreadful day of the Lord, as it is called, is coming. And it is coming quickly. And in the days leading up to that time, there will be times of trouble like has never been seen in this world before. There will be big time problems. And there will be a lot of opportunities for those trees who are planted by the living water to bear fruit to help those around it. Maybe it will be help with food or shelter. Maybe it will be with help with encouragement. Maybe, as I said, it will be the spreading of the gospel and giving hope to those who are living in a hopeless world. A tree rooted in the Word of God and planted by God in His living waters is immovable. It is placed and planted there for a reason. It does not pull up roots and run away when the droughts come. We will be expected to bear fruits no matter how bad it gets. So what are these fruits? I'm just going to real quickly touch on what these fruits are that we are supposed to be bearing, that we're supposed to be sharing with those in our community around us in times of trouble. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 9, 8 and 9. Paul tells us, in short here, a couple sentences, what fruit is. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So what is fruit? It's goodness, it's righteousness, and it's truth. You can sum it up. Galatians 5, verse 22. You don't need to turn there. We all know what this says. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are some of the fruits that we as trees need to produce. This is the type of fruits a tree planted by God is expected to produce in its community around it. I want to turn to one more verse in James 1, verse 27 on this topic. James 1, verse 27 kind of sums up in two sentences the fruits that we should be producing. James 1 verse 27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." It's like two sentences that sums up the fruits that a tree planted by God should be producing in the community around us, around it. So if we're a tree, what kind of tree would you be? If you want to be like a tree planted by a river, yielding fruit, even when there's a drought, there is no shortcut. There is no magic fertilizer that will transform you. There is no Miracle-Gro that you can spray on yourself to make you become this type of tree. There's only one way, and it comes only from God and only through His Holy Spirit. Like I mentioned before, I want to go back to Psalm 1 now, if you marked it. If not, if you want to go back to Psalm 1, you don't have to. We just read it. I'm going to read it again because it answers this question of how to become this type of tree. Verse 1, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3 again. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. This person is like a tree that is planted by the stream of water, who yields its fruit in season." If you want to be... if you want... Oh, my voice is going to go now. I'm almost done. Hopefully it comes back. If you want to be like a tree planted by a river, yielding fruit, even when there is a drought, you need to, 1, not step with the wicked, 2, not stand in the way the sinners take, and 3, you must delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on this law every day. That is what it says, and that's how it works. So what kind of tree do you want to be? That is the question. So in conclusion, becoming a tree takes a lifetime. A mighty oak tree does not grow overnight. It takes a long time. But if you are attached to the vine, and of course that vine is Jesus Christ, if you are attached to the vine, then you are growing. You may be growing slowly, but you're growing. There's no question about it. If you remain attached, you remain tapped into that Holy Spirit, that living water, you will grow. Maybe on the outside, you're not a pillar in the church. Maybe you're still struggling with problems you've had your entire life. But you need to just remember, you can't see a tree grow. When you go out and look at a tree, you can stare at it all day long, and you're never going to see it grow, because it grows slowly. It takes time. It takes a long time. And sometimes we feel like we're not even bearing any good fruit either. We may feel like that about ourselves, that we're not bearing any good fruit either. But you can't see what's going on inside of a tree either. But when that day comes, it does bear fruit. Many times the leaders, political leaders, world leaders in this world, and even in the church, are those who from the world's perspective are successful. From the world's perspective, they see them as successful. They're handsome, they're sharp, they're articulate, they're well-educated, they're good speakers. But that's not what God calls success. What God calls success is right there in Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. God tells us what success for a Christian is. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is the law of the Lord, and who meditates on the law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of waters, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaves will not wither." This is what God calls success. A good tree, a man who plants himself by the river of God, who roots himself in God's word, and bears good fruit. And when the storms begin to blow, he relies on God for his strength. If you are the kind of tree God wants you to be, you will bear good fruit in season. And your leaves will be green, and they will not wither. Even when the heat is on, even in the worst terrible drought there is, you will still bear good fruit, and you will not wither. The fruit will remain. Maybe the fruit will take some time to mature. Maybe you are a slow grower. Maybe you need lots of pruning, like that fig tree in the parable, where you need some digging around your roots or some fertilizer to get you going. But one day, you'll be standing there, and you probably won't even realize it, but you will have become that tree that God wanted you to become. Then one day a little bird will nest in your branches, and he will say to you, "Thanks for being there when I needed you." Or a little deer fawn, separated from his mom, will hide under your branches and say, "Thanks for growing strong enough to protect me from the storms that are blowing around us." Or all the other living creatures in your neck of the woods will pass by and be able to enjoy the many fruits that have been produced on your tree and be filled up and nourished by them, especially during those tough, dry, arid times of trial, when these fruits are hard to come by. And these passerbys will see God's glory reflected in those fruits, and they will praise Him as the Creator, and as the creator of those good fruits, and as a creator of that good tree. This is the kind of tree we are meant to be. So the answer to the question, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Ask God to make you the kind of tree you were meant to be. Then plant yourself by the river and root yourself in God's word and be patient, because only God can make a tree, and He will.